It's a very special schus to be here. First of all, I want to just thank Remy Stark for sponsoring this morning. And all the Torah that we learn should be L'ilu Nishmas, Miral Bas Eliezer, who's Neshama Shem Aliyah, Yaakov David Ben Alter Chaim Dov, who's Neshama Shem Aliyah, Rachel Bas Avram, who's Neshama Shem Aliyah, and Yehuda Zalman Ben Chaim Zev. As Hashem in the schus of all the Torah and all the chizik, all the zoris, all the neshamas of big aliyos, till we're reunited with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah b'ez Hashem. You know, there's many stories of big tzaddikim who already Rosh Chodesh Elul a few weeks ago, when Mevarch in Chodesh Elul, they'd be in shul. And they'd hear that Rosh Chodesh Elul is coming, and they'd literally faint. The pachad, the fear, the awe of these big days. I remember years ago when I was just married, I was living in Kew Garden Hills in Queens, in a garden apartment, two floors, I was in the upper floor. And underneath me lived a woman, Mrs. Grossman. She was a Taurus already by now. But I remember one time, one year, it was Shabbat Mavarach in Elul. And she was sitting, used to sit outside on a little chair. I was talking to her. And she told me how that morning she went to shul to hear Rosh Chodesh benching. And she was so upset. She looked around, people were not into it. There were people talking. She told me she remembered in Europe when the Mevarach in Chodesh Elul that even the fish in the sea would be trembling. That's what she said. The truth is, many of us, it's hard to feel. We did start blowing shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul, but as women, I'm assuming most of you are not in shul on a weekday to hear the shofar being blown. We start saying, L'David Hashem Ayurvi'ishi. For me personally, I'll tell the truth. It's also hard to feel Elul. But what really gets to me, where I really start feeling the Yamim Narayim and preparing for Rosh Hashanah in a proper way, is last night. Leil Slichos. Those of us who are Ashkenazim, we don't start saying Slichos till closer to Rosh Hashanah. And last night we started to say Slichos. Today is the first day of Slichos. And very, very special. It was actually right here. Maybe some of you were here. Sitting right there. And Yaakov Hagler, who leads the Tfilos every single year in the most special of ways, when he starts that first Kaddish, say Ashrei, and then that first Kaddish. And the Kaddish is with that haunting niggin of Yamim Narayim that we all are so familiar with. And you hear that Yiskada al Yiskadash, and you join in. There's no Yid that doesn't feel that. And understand that we're in very powerful, very special days. I was reading from Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. He says, by Slichos, we're not just saying Slichos, but all the tzaddikim who've ever said Slichos are saying them together with us. If we can imagine that, we're saying Slichos together with Rav Kiv Eger and the Maral and the Chassam Sofer. And today is that first day of Slichos. Therefore, today is a very, very special day. It has to be a day where we're, even if those of us who haven't yet put all that we have into these days, these last 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. And 4 days is very significant. It's no coincidence that we start saying Slichos always at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. There are years where more than that, but we always have to have at least 4 days of Slichos. Why is that? And there are a few different answers. One of them is as follows. In the parasha, when it discusses the karbanos of the Yamim Tovim, so by all the Yamim Tovim, we bring karbanos, we bring sacrifices in Beis HaMikdash. And usually, by all the Yamim Tovim, the Lashon, in Parshas Pinchas, is v'hikraftem. V'hikraftem is the Lashon of karban, to bring a sacrifice. V'hikraftem olah. By Rosh Hashanah, it's a different language. It's very strange. By Rosh Hashanah, it's v'asisem. V'asisem olah. You make an olah. V'hikraftem is what makes more sense. V'hikraftem, you bring a karban. V'asisem literally means make yourself an olah. Now, we're not asked to do Akedas Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. We're not asked to go up on an altar and sacrifice ourselves. But the language is telling us something. It's telling us that on Rosh Hashanah, even if we don't physically bring ourselves as a karbon, each and every one of us in thought, in machshava, in lev, should try to be that karbon, try to be moser nefesh, to sacrifice ourselves for Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. More so than other times in the year. V'asisem ola. Making yourself into an ola. And the halacha by a karban, when one brings a karban, the halacha is 4 days before. You have to check the karban. You have to do what's called bikur. To check the karban, to make sure there's no pagan, there's no mum. There's nothing in the karban that would make it possible for the mizbeach. So if each and every one of us, in 4 days from now, on Rosh Hashanah, V'asisem ola, we're going to be a karbon to Hashem. Each and every one of us is going to try to sacrifice for Hashem and show Hashem, I'm giving myself to you, Rabbi Nishol. So 4 days before, we have to check ourselves. Make sure that we're kadosh, make sure that we're tar, that we're pure, that we have no deficiencies, nothing that we're embarrassed to stand in front of Hashem on the Yom HaDin. So we're going to enter into Rosh Hashanah in a few more days. It's interesting, you know, Rosh Hashanah has many, 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 many names. Yom Trua, Yom Azikaron, Zichron Trua, Yom Zichron Trua, and of course what we call it, Rosh Hashanah. Now some of us have learned many times before, and you know that I often talk about names, and the power of a name. And how within every name, there's such depth. Within every name is the mahus, is the essence of the being. A name is something very special. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Malachim and asked the Malachim to name the animals and name people. They couldn't do it. It was too high a level for them. Only Adam HaRishon was able to name all the animals and name himself and name Hashem. Recently, one of my Talmidim, this past Erev Shabbos Kodesh, made a bris. I wasn't able to go for various reasons. But a close friend of mine, another Rebbe, who was asked to name the baby, he told the young man not to write down the name prior to telling him the name by the bris. Don't write it down as if it's something concrete already. Because when you give a name, you're not just choosing the name, but there's Ruach HaKodesh involved. And you want that Ruach, that's the one time in your life you can have Ruach HaKodesh. Otherwise, we should have more than that. But you can have Ruach HaKodesh. You don't want to make it that it was, you already decided, and it was concrete, and it was established prior. Even if you think you know what the name's going to be. Let it be Al Ruach HaKodesh. Because the name carries within it the essence of who each and every one of us is. Our character traits. Our ma'ilas, our chesronos. And with the name of a holiday, it's the same thing. And therefore, there are various names for Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah has such depth to it, and Rosh Hashanah has so much within it. But why of all the names we call it Rosh Hashanah? If you really think about it, it doesn't tell us about the depth of the mahus of what the day is, the essence of the day. It just points out that Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year. Shkoyach, we all know that. Yom Zikaron is a day of remembrance of all our deeds, of all that we've done. Seems a lot more powerful. Yom Trua, the day of blowing shofar, of trembling in awe of the shofar, of breaking ourselves apart so that we could reconfigure ourselves and be metakin and fix all that we need. Rosh Hashanah, okay, Shkoyach, it's the first day of the year. That's just the date. July 4th. Doesn't tell us much about the day. Doesn't tell us much depth. Why do we call it Rosh Hashanah? And one other question. Isn't it a little bit strange that Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Hashanah? What I mean by that, isn't it strange that Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, is the first day of the year? The first day of the year is already Hischach, it's already new, it's already a beginning. If Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, if Rosh Hashanah is Day of Judgment, shouldn't Rosh Hashanah be the last day of the previous year? Rosh Hashanah should really maybe be Wednesday. And let's judge our whole previous year and start anew. Why is it already? We're getting judged, it's already the new year. So the Halakha Maral explains something so deep in the name of Rosh Hashanah. It's actually very, very simple. But it gives us such a depth into the day. And the Maral says in Gvuras Hashem as follows. The Maral says that in Lashon HaKodesh, all words with the same shoresh, in Lashon HaKodesh, all words with the same root have to have a similar meaning, a similar depth. So Rosh Hashanah, Shana means year, the beginning of the year. But there's another meaning for the word Shana, for the Shoresh, for the root of Shana. And that is Shinoi. I'm sure the Chevra knows what Shinoi is. A Shinoi is a change. A Shinoi means it's going to be different. On Shabbos Kodesh, if Lo Aleinu, you have to be involved in some sort of Isser, we try to do it b'shinoi, right? In a different way. In a changed manner than you usually would. That's what a Shinoi is. So what does Rosh Hashanah mean? Rosh Hashanah maybe doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah means the beginning of change. You know, let's be real, let's be honest for a moment. As much as we're coming upon Rosh Hashanah, we've all had Rosh Hashanah many times in the past. And a year ago we had Rosh Hashanah, and a year before that Rosh Hashanah. And when we think back to Rosh Hashanah of previous years, and even though maybe going in we had machshavos, we had thoughts, and we had desires, and we had yearnings, the year wasn't so different than the year before. And a lot of us sitting here today, and a lot of us in our life, have a lot that we want to change. And a lot that we hope the Ribbono Shel Olam change. Changes, there are those in our families that have machlas, that have illnesses. There's those that's suffering when it comes to parnasa. Lo aleinu, there are those that are having issues with fertility. That's something very private, but something very difficult. Can imagine the tsaras, the pain. Those that have issues with children. Shiduchim. And when we're in it, you know, it's very hard. I was last week visiting a Talmud who's going through a very difficult time. He's right now in an outpatient rehab facility, suffering from addiction. And he's doing very well, Baruch Hashem. He's sober and he's clean for a nice amount of days already. He's working on himself. He's growing. But he was crying to me bitter tears. Mamish streaming down his cheeks. And he knows he's doing well. And he knows he has to be there. But his tears were because he didn't see any end. He wants to be somewhere where he's not. And he didn't know how long it's going to be. How long is he going to have to be in that house? How long is he going to have to be dealing with this in the way that he is? And you see, when you're in it, when you're in whatever that sorrow is, whatever that difficulty is, whatever it is, whether it's with yourself, with a loved one, for those moments that you're in it, it's so dark. And you forget completely what was before, and you can't even imagine it changing and it being different. And it's very hard. And therefore each and every one of us, whether it be in our ruchnias or whether it be things going on in our life, let's be real, let's be honest. We feel like the status quo is going, if we're really honest, really sincere, it's going to be the same. Because I haven't seen it change at all. So the morale is teaching us that in the name of Rosh Hashanah, and why we call it Rosh Hashanah, is because it's the biggest chizik and the biggest hope. And that is that in a few days from now is going to be Rosh Hashanah, not just the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Shinoi, the beginning of change. It's going to be a whole new world. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to decide whatever was until now, it's a whole new decision. So if someone was sick, that was decided last year. And now it's a whole new din, a whole new judgment, a whole new beginning. And it can be different, and it will, Bezras Hashem, be different. And in our own life as well, in our own avodas Hashem, in the way that we serve God and connect to God, it can be different and it will be different. It can change. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's not just the beginning of the year, it's the beginning of change. In Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lozado, of the greatest of philosophers, so many svarim and so much that we know of this world is only because of him. And the Ramchal accomplished all that he accomplished before he was 40 years old, making the most of every day. He was nifter very, very young. So in Derech Hashem, when speaking about Rosh Hashanah, in the fourth chelek, says, Kinei b'yom zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu don es kol ha'olam kulo. On this day, God judges the whole world, and we'll get back to that. We still didn't explain why we're judged on this day, and what that judgment is. But listen to the next words. U'mechadesh kol ha'metzios b'b'china ha'sivav ha'chadosh. Da'ayinu Hashanah ha'chadosha. And he makes new the whole world of existence in this new year. Meaning it's a brand new beginning. It's a whole new world. What was is in the past. And we have to believe that. And that itself is such chizik. That itself is such inspiration. It's such hisoris to give us hope. So now we can understand a little bit of the judgment. Because it's not a judgment how many of us think. It's not judgment as far as schar va'onesh for what we've done wrong and what we've done right. People, a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to be judged, meaning I'm going to be judged this previous year, what I've done wrong, what I've done right, and I'm going to gain my schar va'onesh for that. Chazal teaches schar mitzvos b'hai alma leka. That reward is not in this world. That punishment is not in this world. That's for the next world. That's Gan Eden and Gehenim. We never see discussed Rosh Hashanah, Gan Eden and Gehenim. We never see that discussed because that's not what this is about. That's Acher Me'ev Esrim. What is the din of Rosh Hashanah? So we just explained that Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to decide what's going to be the upcoming year. He needs to decide how it's going to be new and how it's going to change. So it's true, we have to understand that our actions, our words, our thoughts. On one hand, we're going to be judged for all of them, Acher Me'ev Esrim, after 120. But yearly, we're also judged in the following way. Not our reward and punishment, but based on who we are, what the consequences should be, what the upcoming year should be. What do we deserve as our potential for the upcoming year based on what we've shown Hashem during this previous year? And a big part of that surely is our mitzvos, our averos. A big part of it is how we've acted, and therefore what we deserve as our potential for the upcoming year. But there's much more to that. There's much more. You see, if you pay attention to Rosh Hashanah davening, we're not really doing tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. All the al-chaitz, the vidoy, the confessions, that's reserved for later, that's reserved for Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the greatness of Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, we're Mamlech Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is Coronation Day. Why is that? Because if we understand, it's not about reward and punishment, really. It's about setting a stage and setting the potential for the upcoming year. So yes, of course, our deeds and our Maisim go into that equation on some level. But if we show Hashem on this day and these last few days leading up, I show Hashem, I want you to be my king. I want to be close to you. and Ila Dodi V'Dodi Li, as this month is. So Hashem says, even, you know, disregard even the whole year in a sense. This young woman wants to be close to me and loves me, is making me the king. I'm going to give her potential for a good year. A year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of change in all the areas that need change. By being mamlech Hashem. By kinging the king and developing that relationship. And I saw something, I'll tell you, this is mamish, supposed to share this with you right now. It came to me literally last night right here. I was sitting right here in the front row in the middle. And at some point last night, I believe it was during Rav Weinberger's drasha, it might have been during the Slichos, I don't remember exactly. So I was looking up above me, right over here. So you have the pasuk, which is a very special pasuk. We're not going to talk about it now. An eternal flame should always be on the Mizbeach. That's the eternal flame of our Avodas Hashem. It should always be burning bright. Right above that, they have Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name. Now we all know Yudke Vavke. It's Hashem's name. Shulchan Aruch talks about Shavisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. Hashem should be opposite yours. Yudke Vavke. Shavisi Hashem. You should always be thinking about Hashem. I was looking at this last night. And every word in Lashon HaKodesh is very deep and very special, right? And you can analyze it in a lot of ways. And I was looking. The letters Hey is really made up of a Dalet and a little line, right? If you look, you could see it right above me, right? So Hey is really a Dalet with a little line on the bottom. If you look at Yud Kei Vav Kei and you look at it backwards, what do you see if you focus on the Dalet? Dodi. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Havaya, which is the name of Rachamim, the name of mercy, hidden within it is Dodi, my beloved. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, these days, is developing that relationship with Hashem, that Hashem is Melech Malachim Lachim. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hoya Hoya V'Viyah, He was, He'll be, He is, He will always be. He's my Dodi. He's my beloved. I love Him. I want to be in this relationship. Something special you guys could think about that. I haven't even developed that deeply yet, but I haven't stopped thinking about it since last night. So that's what the day is here for, to develop this deep relationship with Hashem, and therefore deserve a year of simcha and bracha, and everything can and will change, Be'ezrat Hashem. I want to read you words of the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, from the time when he was a little boy. He said as follows: when I learned in Cheder in the village of Chaslavich, a day before Rosh Hashanah, one could recognize in my teacher, who was a Chabad Chassid, an unaccustomed feeling and joy. Interesting, right? Not fear, not joy, simcha. We students were very amazed at this until our teacher said to us, "Do you know what tomorrow evening is? Tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. And among Hasidim, the night of Rosh Hashanah is called Koronatzia Nacht. In English, that's coronation night. When we place a crown on the head of God, so to speak. And do you know who places the crown? Yankel the tailor, Beryl the shoemaker. Each and every one of us. Over the years, I've said many sermons and written many discourses on the concept of Rosh Hashanah, but nothing ever made me feel the theme of the holidays, the words of that teacher. Every year when I pray, rule over the whole world in your glory, I remember them. Coronation Day is a simcha. Right? We all saw Frozen a few years ago. Coronation Day, there was a whole party. It's exciting. It's simcha. We have Coronation Day with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's coming up. And each and every one of us is going to be Mamlech Hashem. It's going to King God. And through that alone, it all can change. Be'ezrat Hashem. What does that mean to coronate Hashem? What does that mean to be Mamlech Hashem? What does that mean on Rosh Hashanah to make Hashem our King? So who's the first to do it? Because that's how we'll know how to do it. Who's the first? The first was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first to make Hashem his master, his Adon, his Melech. The Gemara in Brachos, Dav Zayin, and Allah says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Miyom Shabara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ha'olam, from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Lo Haya Adam Shekara LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Nobody called God master Ad Sheba Avram, Bekara Adon. Till Avram called him master. Avram was the first to call him master. And that's why it is, Tosfos in Brachos, and Dav Mem says, that's what it is when we daven in our Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avram. What does that mean, Elokei Avram, the God of Avram? Is he not the God of each and every one of us? Is he not the God of the whole world, Jew, non-Jew, alike? Why Elokei Avram? Havikumo Malchus Davavinu, because he was Hamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Olam Shodiyo Malchuso. He's the God of Avram, because Avram made him his Melech. He made him his king. And the entire world. He said, I understand and I believe. You're my king. Is each and every one of us going to say the same? Is each and every one of us on Rosh Hashanah, besides for reading the words and being in shul and listening to the shofar, but are we going to have a machshava, a thought, behargoshes halev, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my Elokei. Elokei Rachel, Elokei Shira, Elokei Alana, whoever you are. He's my God. And I'm being mamlechim. It's hard to do. Avram Avinu did it on his own. Avram Avinu looked around. And the Medrash says he looked around the world and he looked at the trees and he looked at the sky and he looked at all creation. And he looked at himself and he says, how could there not be a Rabbeinu Shalom? That's my melech, that's my king that I have to serve. Each and every one, he did that, Medrash says, one Medrash at the age of three. Each and every one of us can't do that. Be mamlech Hashem. He's our God, he's our melech. And then everything can change. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashinoi. And therefore we understand as well, it's not a judgment on the past year, it's more about the next year. The focus on the new beginning, the change, the excitement, the simcha of being mamlech Hashem and have a whole new world. So of course Rosh Hashanah is the first day, not the last day. We have to see Hashem in everything. The more we see Hashem in everything, more I'll be mamlech Hashem. I'll king Hashem. I recently read a story. Very, very powerful. There was a soldier in Eretz Yisrael, Devir Emanuelov. He was 22 years old. He was the first fatality in Operation Cast Lead a few years ago. Hashem Yimkom Damav. He was actually exempt from the army. He didn't have to serve. Because a few years prior to that, his father, who was only 46, passed away from an illness, from cancer. And his mother, being a single parent, the law was, maybe still is, he didn't have to serve. He was exempt. He was pater from the army, but he wanted to serve. He wanted to protect Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to protect every one of us. Do we realize the mesiras nefesh of every soldier? Forget about all the politics in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to talk about any of that. Serving and those who don't serve. Do we realize every single soldier in Eretz Yisrael, the mesiras nefesh for each and every one of us, so that we could go to Eretz Yisrael, that we could daven in Eretz Yisrael, so we could learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael? A lot of us have this chus to visit Eretz Yisrael. When was the last time we went over to a random soldier and said, thank you so much? To Makar Tov. Because every single soldier is putting their life on the line for us. For the Rabbeinu Shalom. For our country, for our people. So Devir Emanuelov, he wanted to serve. He chose to serve. And unfortunately, he was Moser Nefesh. And he was killed. And it was obviously very, very hard for the family, for his mother, Dalia, who already lost her husband just a few years before. We can't imagine. None of us could imagine. It was about 6 months later. It was in the summer. In the summer at Shul, maybe some of you have been. I actually was just there. They have, right outside the walls of the old city, Chutzot HaYotzer, an artist festival. Right, right there by Mamilla. I'm sure some of you must have been there at some point, always in the summer in August for a couple weeks. I had the schuss to just be there with my family. The first day in Eretz Yisrael, we went to Chutzot HaYotzer. And they have tons of artists from all over the world and all over Eretz Yisrael. It's a very beautiful festival. And Dalia wanted to go. She was going to go one night. But her daughter asked her, "Mommy, could we go a week later?" Because she wanted to, every night, by the Chutzot HaYotzer, besides for having this big artist festival, they have a concert, an Israeli singer. The night I was there a few weeks ago, Moshe Peretz sang. Some of you might have heard of him. So there was a particular singer, I don't know who it was, who her Dalia's daughter wanted to hear sing, and asked, "Can we wait a week? I'll go, I want to go with you, we'll go to the festival, and we'll be able to go to this concert." So Dalia agreed, and she didn't go when she was going to go, she went a week later, and they're going, they're walking around, and then they eventually make their way to the concert, and they're at the concert, and right next to them is this father holding a baby and a son. And the son starts talking to Dalia, starts a very handsome young man talking to Dalia, to the mother. The father of the son thought maybe he's trying to get in with his mother, maybe to get to her daughter a little bit. He thought maybe he didn't know what was going on, so he called his son back. He said, "Come back, come here, come be with your brother Dvir. Come be with your brother Dvir." Now Dalia hears that. And she hears her son's name, who was murdered 6 months earlier. She goes over to the father holding this baby, this Dvir. So when was that baby born? Was that baby born before or after Operation Cast Lead? So very soon after. His wife was right next, Shiri. And Shiri says to Dalia, says, "I'll tell you what happened. I was 33 weeks pregnant, and the doctors said there were some complications, would you have to deliver immediately within the day or two. And I was extremely nervous, what's going to be with my baby. And that day I saw on the news that a young soldier, Dvir Emanuelov, was the first soldier killed in Operation Cast Lead. And I started to think about his mother and what it is to lose a child. And I said to myself, and I said to my husband, we're zocha to have this child, and that child's healthy. We're going to name this child after that soldier." And Kachave, they had the child, and the child, Baruch Hashem, had to have some medical attention, but Baruch Hashem is healthy. And they named him Dvir. And here was this mother, Dalia, who had the greatest nechama in the world. And Dalia says to Shiri, "I'm Dvir's mother." Can't even imagine that moment. But here was, at that concert, outside the walls of Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, here was the Ribbono Shel Olam saying hello and giving Dalia a big hug and bringing some nechama and saying, "Even though I know you don't understand, and even though I know it's so hard, Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li, I love you. There's a reason. It's all going to be good." And if we open up our eyes, each and every one of us has stories like this in our life all the time. All the time. We just have to open up our eyes. You know, I've said a story many times from my Rebbe, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. At one time, an almana, a widow, came to him crying. The almana was married for 50 years, her husband lost her husband. And she came to the Rosh Yeshiva and said, "She's so alone. She feels so alone." And after giving her words of chizik, he said, "I want you to leave here to buy yourself a little pad and a pen that you should have with you always. And anytime you start to, you have a day and something happens to you, and you feel that it's Yad Hashem, it's the hand of Hashem, write it down. A small miracle, a big miracle in your life, in your children's life. And whenever you start to feel lonely, open it up and read. And you realize you're never alone. Hashem is always by your side. And the more we open up our eyes like Avram Avinu, the more we'll say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Rachel, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Alana, Elokei Shiri, Elokei Dalia. And be Mamlech Hashem. You know what happens once we're Mamlech Hashem? Hashem says, you want me to be your king? I'm going to be your king. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to change it all. And you know what else happens when you really believe this and we walk into Rosh Hashanah and we really feel this? We start to look at Hashem in a different way. We start to serve Him in a different way. It's real, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I want to do more for you, Hashem. I want to daven more, Hashem. I want to do more mitzvahs. I want to do whatever you ask of me because I recognize you're my king. And it all changes in the most beautiful of ways. There's something else that happens. There's another chizik that happens on Rosh Hashanah when we're Mamlech Hashem, when we really King Hashem. When we really recognize that Hashem is our King, is the master of the world, is the master of the universe. When we really believe it can be Rosh Hashanah, beginning of all change. There's something else that happens. You know, in Rosh Hashanah, in the Haftorah, we're going to read about Chana. We're going to read about Chana, as we all know, was married to Elkanah for many, many, many years, unable to have children, and finally blessed with a Shmuel. My Bechor, my oldest son, my oldest child is Shmuel. I still remember 16 years ago, giving that name and having this in mind. Having the struggles and the hope, the emunah in the darkest of times that Chana had. We read that specifically Rosh Hashanah morning, this Haftorah. This chizuk that it's supposed to give us for Rosh Hashanah. This chizuk it's supposed to give us for Rosh Hashanah. Clearly on the surface, pashut for a mother suffering in that way. Rosh Hashanah is surely a time for that shinoi, for that change. To be zoichet to children, and should be Bezer Hashem with bracha, and besuras tovas for all that need that bracha. But there's a very deep lesson here for each and every one of us. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, says as follows. Listen to what the Gemara says, how Chana davened. And by the way, all of our tefillos we learn from Chana. All of our davening we learn from Chana. But listen to how she davened. When she asked for a child, she hasn't had a child in many, many, many years. So listen, you think, what should her tefillos be? Ribbono Shalom, please, please give me a child. Please give me just a child, and wouldn't care if it's a boy, if it's a girl. Just a healthy child. No other requests. A few years ago, I was davening with my wife and hoping for a fifth child. And some of you know, I don't have the time now to go through, but our last few children, they're very serious medical conditions, Baruch Hashem, they're all healthy, but a whole big blood incompatibility with myself and my wife that we found out starting with our third child, and it wasn't so simple to have a fourth child. And the doctors really told us after the fourth child, we shouldn't have any more children, it'll be too dangerous. But of course, we want to bring more children into the world. So for a long time we davened and we kept on going back to doctors. And the tzaddik in the world that I trust more than anyone in the world, with these type of inyanim, and we wouldn't have tried until he gave the okay, basically, was Rabbi David Abu Chazera. Rabbi David Abu Chazera, probably the biggest mekubel in the world today, And I went to him, and I went to him, and just explained to him the whole situation. And he told me, come back in a few months. He didn't tell me that it's a good time. And then he told me, come back in a few months again. A few times, come back in a few months. And then finally, he said, okay, I'll give you a bracha. It should be b'simcha, and b'yeshua, and b'refuah, and b'sur tovos. Gave a big bracha. Finally. And kachavi, baruch Hashem. I mean, my wife had to have 5 different blood transfusions during the pregnancy and a lot of other that she was going through. A lot of refuos that were needed that we knew. But Baruch Hashem, we have a healthy baby, a beautiful baby. He's already 3 years old. A real Nasan Tzvi. Nasan Tzvi is after Nasan Tzvi Finkel, we told the story about. So when I remember the time with Rabbi David and I asked, and he finally gave the bracha to go through. So then I had a little bit of chutzpah, you see, because we have a Bechara son, and then we had 3 girls. And my wife desperately wanted another boy. According to some shittos, mitzvah peruvu is 2 boys and 2 girls, actually, also. So I asked Rabbi David, can we have a bracha that should be a boy? And he looked at me, and he gave a big smile, and he wouldn't give such a bracha. So he'd be zeicher, be healthy. He wouldn't give such a bracha. Baruch Hashem, we had a baby boy. Would have been happy with a girl too, if that's not what I'm saying. But that request was chutzpah. That request, I probably shouldn't have requested. I shouldn't have even asked that. Probably wasn't right of me. Okay, sometimes you try. For your wife, you'll do anything, right? But Chana, listen to Chana's tefillas. Chana, who hasn't had any children, So Gemara and Bracha says as follows: Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi, he said this was the tefillah of Chana, who also davened for a son specifically, but more than that. She said she wanted the son, and the son should not be in any way conspicuous, should not be like stand out, should be someone that people shouldn't look at in weird ways, in strange ways. So she says, Lo Aruch Lo Gutz. He shouldn't be too tall, shouldn't be too short. V'lo katan v'lo olim. He shouldn't be too skinny or too fat. V'lo tzachar v'lo gichar. He shouldn't be too white or too red-colored. V'lo chacham v'lo ptipesh. He shouldn't be too brilliant and he shouldn't be too challenged when it comes to his intellect. So Chana, how could it be? Chana, you haven't had children yet. All these years. And you're going to have such tfilos that you're going to not just request, but request not too tall, not too short, not too big, not too small, not too smart, not... What? Really? Such chutzpah. And this is who we're learning how to daven from. This is who we're learning on Rosh Hashanah how our tfilos should be. So I saw in a sefer the following idea, the sefer Kol Tzofecha. It says, Chana had such belief in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Chana had belief the Rabbeinu Shalom was Melech, Malchei, Amlochim. Chana understood that God is the King of all kings, and she understood that any moment he could do whatever he wants in that way. He really rules the world, and Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashidoi, everything can and will change. Chana understood that she could rely on no one but the Eibishter. If you look in the whole story, you see, when is her tefillos finally answered? It's when Elkanah, when her husband comes to her and says, finally, basically, he's Mishyai. She gives up and says, am I not good enough to you? I'll take care of you. I'm as good as any amount of children. And she realizes she has no one but the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world. And her tefillos were only with hope in the Rabbeinu Shalom. It'd be Mamlech Hashem. And when you're Mamlech Hashem in such a way, when you're King Hashem and you realize and you recognize God is the God of the whole universe and anything He wants can change any moment, then you have the ability to ask for anything. Anything you want. It's not chutzpah. That's the Amun and Bitachon that one has, that he has in Rosh Hashanah. That's the level of Amun and Bitachon we could have. Still, you don't know if you're going to be answered immediately. You don't know when that's going to be. We don't know what's best for us. Kodesh Baruch Hu Yodea Machshavos, and He knows everything, and He knows what's going to be, and we're willing to be makabel to say whatever Hashem wants is ultimately best for us. But we could ask for whatever we want. And it's because, it's not chutzpah, it's pumfaker, it's the opposite. It's because we believe in the koyach of Hashem, because we believe in the kingship of Hashem, that we can ask in such a way. So if I'm mamlech Hashem, if I really have coronation day, and believe it all can change, it's Rosh Hashinoi. First, obviously, the first consequence, I'm going to serve Hashem in a different way. I'm going to act in a different way. I'm going to live with Hashem in a different way. But also, I could ask Hashem anything I want. In the deepest of ways. And I believe deeply it all could change. And just because of what was until now is meaningless. Havar ayin, the past is in the past, it's me, it's gone. It's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a new world, it's a new life. I want to end with a story, I want to read you a story that I read recently. It's a story from the Heilige Minchas Elazar. Minchas Elazar was a Munkacher Rebbe. Munkach is very connected to this community. A lot of people who mamish come from the Munkach dynasty in our community. The Lebowski family, the Perloff family, I'm sure a lot of the Chevra knows. Rav Baruch Rabinovitz was a son-in-law of the Minchas Elazar, Reb Chaim Eliezer Spira. Rav Baruch Rabinovitz is the father of the present-day Munkacher Rebbe, who's a grandson of the Minchas Elazar. So for a period of time, Reb Baruch and his wife lived in Warsaw. Later, when the Minchas Elazar became ill, he begged them to come back to Munkach in Czechoslovakia, which they did. Reb Baruch had a son named Tzvi Nasan David. Baruch would often recall that his father loved this boy, the Minchas Elazar's dear grandchild, in an exaggerated way, in part due to the fact that they had waited a long time to have that first child. He would play with and spoil the child, and Tzvi would sit on his grandfather's lap at the Shabbos gatherings. In the final year of his life, the Minchas Elazar took the shofar on the first day of the month of Elul and tested it to see whether it was in good condition. Tzvi was in the room and was physically excited by the shofar and its sounds. He asked his Zaidi for one more blessed, and his Zaidi gladly obliged. From then on, for the remainder of the month, this became a ritual. The Rebbe blowing the shofar once each day for little Tzvi. On the day before Rosh Hashanah, Tzvi was there awaiting his daily blessed. But he was disappointed. Today is the day before Rosh Hashanah, his grandfather explained. Today we do not blow the shofar. Tomorrow morning we will blow the shofar in shul. Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't blow shofar. There are various reasons. One, to show the difference between the shofar of Elul and the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar of Elul, which is only a custom, a minog. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah, is a chiyuv. Others explain, la'arvev es ha-satan, to confuse the satan, to think that we're not blowing anymore and he'll take vacation. So today is the day before Rosh Hashanah, we won't blow shofar. The child did not comprehend the reasons. He knew no reason. He kicked and screamed, just one blast! Just one blast, Zaidi! After a while, the grandfather softened at the sound of his favorite grandchild crying, and he took the shofar and he blew one blast. On Rosh Hashanah, the custom in Munkach was that the Rebbe spoke before the blowing shofar. That year, the Rebbe went up before the ark, opened it, and said, Master of the universe, I have to repent. It's written that on the day before Rosh Hashanah, one mustn't blow shofar. Yet I did. He began to sob uncontrollably and called out, Master of the universe, do you know why I transgressed this custom? It was because my young grandchild lay on the floor begging and crying that I should only blow one blast of the shofar for him. My heart melted. I couldn't bear to watch him cry like that. So I blew once for him, though I shouldn't have. Tata! How can you stand by and see how millions of your children are down on the floor and crying to you? Tata, just one blast. Sound the blast of the great shofar which will herald the final redemption. Even if the time is not right for it yet. Even if the time for Mashiach has yet to arrive. Your children cry out to you, how can you stand by idly? Rav Baruch cried as he recounted the story and recalled how at that time the entire crowd cried along with their Rebbe. The sounding of the shofar was delayed, and for a long time, they could not regain their composure. Loud wailing was heard throughout the shul. So we as well could come Rosh Hashanah. And even if it sounds a little like chutzpah, even if last year wasn't what it should have been and we haven't lived up to. But as we've explained today, if we're mamlech Hashem, if we believe in the change, the possibilities of a new year, and we King Hashem Coronation Day, we say, Rabban Shalom, we believe in your koiches. We could ask for anything. We could ask for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Bechlal and Beprat in our individual lives, our own yeshuos, in whatever areas that we need. And Amir Tashem, all those tefillos will be listened to, will be answered by the Rabban Shalom. Amir Tashem, each and every one of us should have a ksiv v'chsiv v'toyva, a gug bench yar, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year where we feel the kirvas elokim, where we feel close to Hashem, a year where all the shinoi that we need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings for us, a year where we're zoicha to greet Mashiach, said Kenu, b'mehirah v'yameinu. A beautiful Yom Tov, everyone.